This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the happy hour. You're tuned in to Guardian Radio 96.9. This is Deandra Cartwright, and I'm delighted that you've decided to join me on the show, or if you've been tuned into the station all day, thank you for staying. My theme song. The theme song for the show always gets me in the mood to talk about the goodness that's going on in our community. That's the whole purpose of the happy hour, is to try and bring attention to the positive things, the incredible actions that our persons throughout the Bahamas and Bahamians around the world are doing, so that we can hear some goodness on air, and purposely so. So again, our group that you may know are interested in coming on to the show, just reach out to us on our social media platforms. The happy hour is on Facebook, on Instagram, and on X, that's known as Twitter. So don't forget to go and check us there. And if you can find me, Deandra Cartwright, on social media, you can also reach out to me there. We're happy to have you on. Next week, we will be featuring the Bahamas Red Cross. We're going to be talking about their efforts, what does the Red Cross do, as well as one of their major upcoming events. The week after, we're going to be talking with the folks from the Dignified Girl Project, and I can't wait to have a discussion with those folks because their work in the community is so unique and incredible, and I want us all to know more about it so that we can support it more widely. Then we're going to be headed into February, and you know that's Heart Month. Lots of things going on. It's also the month of love, and I've had some requests to talk about mental health and love, but also physical heart health, as well as the things that we need to do to take care of ourselves. So I'm keeping all of that in mind as I go to schedule folks. I do listen, and I'm thankful to those of you who reach out to me during the show, after the show, to say how helpful things have been, especially for those 2026 guidelines that me and Taran would have shared last week about how do you plan out your 26? What are habits you can create and what things can you do to ensure that your year gets off to a positive start? And I actually had a few more of those, and I wanted to read them before we get started with today's show, just as a continuation. And I'm going to incorporate this into the show going on, like little tidbits about how to improve life, because I feel like we need to be very intentional in how we're trying to improve the world around us in our own world. But before, you can call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or toll free from the Family Islands, 300-5720. You can also text us at 422-4796. Remember that Guardian Radio, you can get that on TV, and that's on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or BTC Flow Channel 612. So going to some of these notes, and as we did last week, we started off heavy, and then I have some lighter ones. So things that you are no longer negotiating in 2026, even if it makes people uncomfortable. Emotional labor without reciprocity. Being easygoing at your own expense. Access to you without accountability. Staying quiet to keep the peace. Explaining boundaries multiple times. Now, I know I'm speaking to somebody out there. I just had this happen and I'm like, I'm tired. I'm not doing this again. Relationships that require self-erasure. Last minute urgency that isn't yours. On that point, I got to share this quote. It's a beautiful quote that I just repeat every so often. an emergency on lack of planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my end to help you fix that. No. Being misunderstood just to stay connected. No, we need to clarify some things. Conversations that dismiss your experience without being respected. Shrinking to avoid conflict. Fixing what you didn't break. I know I'm talking to somebody out there. Proving your worth through exhaustion and self-accountability. This is something that I am working on this year, and to not push myself to do all of the good things that I usually do. No, we have to focus on Deandra. So when I share these things with you all, ladies and gentlemen, it's also for me. Normalizing emotional neglect. And we're going to, again, I said we're going to have on some folks talking about mental health, like, because I feel like we lose a lot of ourselves by trying to keep others happy. I know I'm talking to somebody. Guilt as a decision-making tool. Apologizing for your tone instead of the truth. Again, lots of heaviness right there, but something that we need to keep in mind. Now, here's something a little bit lighter. Well, two things. Remember that, and this isn't the 2026 thing, but it's just something to remind you of the impact that you have out on the world. And it's titled Somewhere, Some. So everything I repeat after this, that's the preface. Someone, Somewhere, Still. Listens to a song you showed them. Thinks of you every time they pass that one place. Speaks up because you listened. Carries your kindness forward. Thinks people can be good because of you. Believes in themselves because you did. Keeps trying because you didn't give up. Hears your voice when they doubt themselves. Knows what love is because you showed them. Remember that the world needs you. Continuing to our 2026, and I hope that touched somebody's heart. 2026, the ends. Slowing down to truly feel. Protecting your peace without guilt. Being proud of quiet growth. Saying no with love. Creating without comparison. Choosing connection over perfection. Resting before you burn out. Celebrating softness as strength. Trusting your timing, doing less, but with more heart. 2026, rushing healing, over-explaining your worth, confusing productivity with value, friendships that leave you drained, shrinking to keep the peace, chasing what's not aligned, ignoring what your body is telling you, living for the highlight reel. We have a lot to work on, and I'm happy to share those few things for this year. Like I said, I'm going to continue sharing these every Saturday that I'm with you. Even if it's pre-recorded, I'm still trying to put some of those in. And then I have one final one, and these come through my social media feed. So I save them for you because I like to share them with you. 2026 is the year of no. Now y'all say it with me. No, I can't lend you money. No, I'm not canceling my gym session for you. No, I'm not going out to eat when I have financial goals. No, I'm not staying up late when I need to wake up early. No, I'm not answering calls that drain me, especially on the phone that I pay for. No, I'm not entertaining situations that confuse me. No, I'm not over-explaining my boundaries. No, I'm not betraying my future for temporary comfort. No, I'm not choosing convenience over discipline. No, I am not watering relationships that give me nothing back. No, I'm not available for half effort, bare minimum. No, I'm not ignoring my intuition. No, I'm not going where I'm not respected. No, I'm not lowering my standards. No, I'm not postponing my destiny. No, I'm not negotiating with distractions. And remember, we have distractions in every area of our lives, so we have to also use discernment to determine what we should and should not be paying attention to. No, I'm not abandoning my goals for anyone's comfort. And no, I'm not breaking my own heart anymore. 2026 is the year of no. So that concludes our preparation for 2026. And as we continue through, it's going to be our how are we doing in 2026? Now, as we all know, the show starts with me going over a few things that are happening. And I'm going to go do that now. As a reminder, King Richard III, that play is in full swing at the Dundas. And I believe they've been doing so well that they might be sold out. But you can contact the Dundas to see if they have any more tickets left. Again, you'll be supporting the artistic community, as well as, of course, the craft itself and expanding it. We want to give a special shout out to them because they also had matinees for the school children to actually get to see these plays in real time. So cheers to the Dundas for putting that all together. Now, for a few more things that you can do, and I got to stop with my own thing. The Long Islanders Association. We're having a South on Saturday, the 7th of February. That's going to be happening at St. George's Anglican Church in the Parish Hall on Montrose Avenue. We're starting at 8. They're going to have some souse, going to have some stew. It's a Long Island breakfast. It's our first major fundraiser, so please come out if you can. And this is happening at the end of the month, but the Bahamas National Trust is having a native plants and bush tea workshop. That's starting, going to be on Saturday, the 31st of January, starting at 10 o'clock. It's a free event, but you have to register. So www.bntevents.com/the-retreat. Also happening, and this is happening tonight, actually in about an hour and 45 minutes. Antonius Roberts is having a new exhibition called New Beginnings, and that is going to be at ICE, and that's in the BAIC Industrial Park on Old Trail Road. Also happening, and this is on the 29th of January at the Current at Bahamar, Reconstructing the Paradigm. This is a group exhibition featuring new works by Jason Bennett, Dee Dee Brown, Veronica Dorsett, Kendra Frorup, Darchell Henderson, Lynn Parati, Jordan Ritchie, Christina Wong, and Averia Wright. So again, that's on the 29th of January, starting at 6 o'clock at The Current. A special shout out to all of the Little League players. Oh my goodness, the Freedom Farms, they had their opening day today. They started off bright and early at 7:15 with a church service at Holy Cross Anglican Church. And then they went straight over to the Freedom Farms baseball field at 10 o'clock. And so, you know, they had their 12U, 15U, and U means under, so under 12, under 15, and 18U divisions were out in full force this morning. So also happening, and this is tomorrow, the Highgrove Singers are going to be participating in the Hope Concert, and that's with Amari Placeet, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, and friends, which include one of my friends, John Darville. So that's happening tomorrow at 4 p.m. at Holy Spirit Anglican Church. The donation is $30 and all proceeds to aid BASH and the Domestic Violence Unit. So it's a really good cause. 4 o'clock. Other things that are happening, and this is a save the date, and I know I promised not to go all the way in March, but I just want to make sure you know it's happening. The Bahamas Alzheimer's Association is having their Purple Dance Party. This is going to be in honor of Alpheus Hawk Finlayson and Don Finlayson. That's on the 28th of March at the Balmoral. And you can always reach out to their folks, and that's at 535-4260. The Bahamas National Youth Choir is going to be having their spring auditions tomorrow, starting at 2 o'clock until 4 for ages 7 to 17 at the Sir Durrett Knowles Auditorium. So that's formerly Apsworth Hall by Ebenezer Methodist Church on Shirley Street. So it's a two-story yellow building. So that's the auditions for the Bahamas National Children's Choir. This is in April, but I'll throw it out there because I'm from Long Island, and this is the Farmers Dem. The Agri Expo, they put out the dates. It's the 10th to the 12th of April. It's always a blast. Please mark your calendars for that. We're also going to be having the Perry Institute for Marine Science. They're coming on the show. They're going to be talking to us about all the things they're doing in the community, in the environment, in the water. And they also have an application for the Rising Tides program. And this is for young young people to learn, senior high school students to be specific, to learn more about marine science and conservation. And they'll start in the spring and continue through the summer, and by participating in an immersive program facilitated by the Perry Institute for Marine Science. And you can check their websites for this opportunity. The deadline is the 18th that are going on. Don't forget that on the 7th of February, the Horticultural Society is having their plant sale. That's starting at 9 o'clock at the retreat right there at Village Road. Admission is $2 and children is free. They're going to have a $5 table. So all of you who also like plants, they have a $5 table. So you want to check that out. And I think I want to say that that's the end of my list for things to do. And cheers to everybody who made it out to the Majority Rule Walk by the BAAAs last week. I hope you finished. You got your first medal. Don't forget to continue walking. And speaking of walking, the Ministry of National Security is celebrating Community Centers Awareness Week. They're having a free fun run walk that's happening on Saturday, the 31st of January, starting at 6:30 from R.M. Bailey Park. And it's going to end at the Edmund Moxie Community Center. And if I remember correctly, that's on Blue Hill Road, right? How I read that, I don't know how that worked. I mean, somebody got to pick me up. We got to figure this out. Or maybe I catch the bus. That's a 16-8. It's still going on that way, right? I think so. I feel like I'd be catching the bus if I go to this one. Security will be provided for vehicles left on the park. Transported back to your vehicles left at R. and Bailey Park. Boy. Anyway, so Saturday the 31st of January, that's the Ministry of National Security. I haven't heard about a run done in that particular way. This one is happening next week, Saturday, and this is Macedonia Baptist Church. They're having a family fun run walk. And they will be starting at 6 a.m. They have a lot of information on their flyer. We'll try to post these onto the page. I'm trying to see the start. Okay, they're starting, of course, at Macedonia Baptist Church, and they're going to be headed on to Burnett Road, Wolf Road, Soldier Road, and then they're going to go head back to the church. Yeah, they have lots of categories. I'm trying to see. And you wear your colors. And they have all of this inside their flyer. The triathlon, this is an Olympic sprint relay. They're having a swim, bike, and run event on the 1st of February, Jaws Beach. You can register. And this is being, the relay is the teams of 2 to 3 people. All right. I think that's everything, and I would have mentioned all of the other things on the pages already, so we are good to go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I feel like I have the rest of the next 2 months of 2026 planned out on the weekends, because as much as we try to say there's nothing to do on New Providence, and there's something to do. You just got to find out, and that's why I like to bring you all this good stuff. So joining me in studio today, and I know he has all the patience because he's sitting there and be like, when am I going to start talking? And I'm like, I'm giving you all the time in the world, because this conversation, ladies and gentlemen, is going to get quite deep, because we have within our midst an expert in human resources, because we're starting off the new year. We want to learn more about how we can improve ourselves, prepare ourselves for professional success. What does that exactly look like? So joining us to talk about setting goals for professional success, how to prepare for success in the workplace, the Bahamian employment space, and how to improve as an employee is Vernon Bain. So Vernon Bain is a talent acquisition lead and people strategy professional based in the Bahamas with experience spanning talent strategy, employer branding, workforce planning, and digital marketing across pharmaceutical, retail, and corporate environments. He brings a strong foundation in human behavior, recruitment systems, and business-aligned HR practices, supported by formal education in business management from the University of the Bahamas and Master's in Human Resource Management from EAE Business School, along with ongoing professional development in digital marketing, leadership, and talent development. Vernon holds professional training and certifications in human resources, project management, and digital marketing, and continues to expand his expertise through continuous learning in behavioral analysis, leadership development, and modern recruitment methodologies. His work focuses on building practical, data-informed hiring frameworks that improve decision-making, candidate experience, and long-term retention. My gosh, I feel like I I feel like we got the whiz of human resources inside the studio today. I still feel like we didn't read out everything. Oh my goodness. But Vernon, it's so good to have you in studio.
Thank you, DeAndre. Thank you for having me here today. It's always exciting and a pleasure to talk about human resources as a whole, but in particular, my area of expertise, which is talent management and talent acquisition. So that's really my niche area. I care about placing people in the right spots for their life, like a puzzle piece.
I like that analogy.
Yes, like a puzzle piece.
But tell me a little bit more. When you say talent acquisition, what does this mean? You said talent acquisition, yes, and
talent management.
And talent management. Yes. What are those two things?
So I'll explain that. So most people are familiar with recruitment. Mm-hmm. And recruitment is finding your candidates, advertising for your candidates, sourcing, interviewing, hiring. Talent management, talent acquisition, you go in a little deeper. So you're trying to find strategic ways to do that recruitment process and find how to plan in the future, how to grow persons within the company, how to retain persons, how to find out how they need to be engaged, how to add talents, as opposed to just hiring somebody, finding a body or a person just to fill a specific role. So that's a difference there. One is a little more, I guess, straightforward. It's a process. And then the other one is a little more strategic and in-depth.
Okay. I like that idea. So it sounds like there's a lot of effort that gets put into preparing somebody or finding somebody to fit in a particular area at work to ensure their success, right?
Yes, that's correct. And something I want to start off with, letting people know, it's okay to say no. It's okay to not accept every job offer that's in the front of you.
Okay, so why is it okay?
So you do have people that they're in need. They may be desperate. They may be searching in the job market for a while, and something pops up. And the first thing that pops up, they may be eager to take that. And I completely understand that, but we need to look at company in terms of their background, your mental space going into the job, the salary, what are you going to gain, what are you going to learn? Like, you kind of need to really think about what you want from the role versus taking the first thing that is offered to you. So, again, it's okay to say no, because there's many opportunities out there once you stay positive, despite what some people are saying.
Nah, you know, listen. What are some people saying? Because I know when persons are looking at the job market, mm-hmm, and trying to align that with their skill set and their experience, yes, they could be saying some things. What are some of these things, and how can we balance out, I guess, disappointments with what is actually available?
Okay. So one of the things I've heard all my life is not what you know, it's who you know.
So you don't think that's true?
Not exactly. Not exactly true. Why I say that is because at the end of the day, it is a business, especially more so for the private sector. It's a business, and there's time, energy, and cost that is put into finding these people, these resources, and a good human resources professional wants to align these persons. So yes, someone can recommend a friend, someone can recommend a family member. Bear in mind, they have to put their name. However, that person still needs to go through a vetting process. A person still needs to bring their skill set. A person needs to still be consistent. They need to bring the value that hiring manager is assuming that they have. So not all the time is who you know. It's for the most part, it really is what you know and how do you position yourself to get in the front of these persons that are making these decisions. And believe it or not, it's very easy. It's very easy. And I'm going to share that a little later.
Oh, that sounds like it's going to be an informative discussion. Mm-hmm. So you just said that it's not who you know exactly. How can somebody, and let me know, because I know that you came prepared. Mm-hmm. Let me know if I'm jumping. How can somebody that's seeking employment, mm-hmm. how should they be approaching? How can somebody seeking employment be approaching the job market, preparing themselves?
Okay. So I'll just take that for what that is. So preparing, how could that person prepare? First thing is the mindset. I think from I knew myself as a child, I was always a happy-go-lucky, positive person. And I would say I get that from my mother. Shout out to Denise Bain, my lovely mother. And my father was always the stern, realistic person, right? So having that balance, I think, helped me through my life. So again, mindset, being positive. If you feel you can get the job, if you feel you're qualified, you are. And it's what you tell yourself. We grow up, at least in my age category, we in the 90s, we grew up reciting a lot of songs and rap lyrics and R&B, whatever. And you can talk yourself into whatever you want, right? So just talking yourself into saying there is something out there for me, there is a job for me, that mindset first, and then forming a plan and then executing on that plan. So it is a process.
No, it really does sound like a process. And you mentioned something at the back end, a plan. Mm-hmm. What does a plan entail, or what does it look like? Okay. And of course, I know you came prepared, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. let me know.
Okay. And yes, I came prepared, but as we're talking, I'm kind of just flowing based on my experience of coaching people, both at my company where I work and just in the market. I love to help people. I feel that you get that back in return. Shout out my great-grandmother, Rowena Darling. So she taught me that. Preparation, right? That's what we're on.
Yes.
The first thing you want to do is you want to know, like, what it is that you feel you're good at. Mm-hmm. I tell people start there, especially if you not necessarily have went to trade school or college, because mm-hmm. It's different tiers. So if we're talking about just my 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds who are trying to figure out what it is that they want to do in life, you have to figure that out. And sometimes we learn that in high school. So when I was in high school, shout out NCAA Crusaders.
You know, I admire how you're calling out all the persons and entities that had a part yes. of you growing up and maturing and who you are today and positively impacting your life's journey. And I think that actually proves one of the points that you'd mentioned earlier is about what you feed yourself, who you surround yourself yes. with, and that sort of like having your village, your support system is crucial.
Exactly. And coming from an island nation, we know better. Again, especially a particular demographic, that village really raises you. So, again, when you're talking about preparation, what am I good at? What do I like to do? Some people like to cook. Some people are good with their hands. A lot of the younger people, IT is all the rage now. Marketing, content creation is all the rage now. What are you naturally good at? I tell younger persons, start with that, because now that excitement, that interest, that is going to carry you, and you're going to be able to have a comfortable, energetic, positive interview, because you're talking about what you like, what you're passionate about. You're not necessarily burdened by the responsibilities of an older adult as yet. So that's one aspect of preparation for younger persons. Now, if I switch to older persons, you would have had some work experience by, let's say, 5 years, 10 years out of high school. And some of it may be sporadic, some of it may be tailor-made, but commonality is in it. Have I worked in customer service? Is it hospitality? Is it the restaurant industry? You have those particular things there. If you went to college or trade school, either one is fine, or you're a self-studier, you're going to have these different tracks that may prepare you. So, for example, when I was in college, persons who studied banking and finance, they were, I guess, there was a pathway laid out for them. So they knew, okay, I can go into private banking, I can go into commercial banking, I can work for a small business. So you have that. If it's HR, you had your HR groups coming onto campus, helping people know, okay, well, what is the pathways? So you have those particular things, and preparing is just joining those communities, finding the information. Sometimes a lot of information is pushed at you, and you need to determine, okay, am I going to watch TikTok videos, or am I going to round in my field, right? The next step after kind of finding your interests, I tell people, know your dollar value, right? Know what number that you're comfortable with asking an employer, because they may ask you, you know, what is your salary expectation? Again, if you're on an entry level, minimum wage right now is $260. So you be comfortable what you want to ask for, $260, $300, $330. You know if you have bills or not. You know if you contribute. You may have kids at a young age. You know what salary is going to help you week to week, right? If you're a little older, you may have more responsibilities now that you're older, but you may want to be paid for your skill set. So do your research. And your research can come from plenty of different places. Your research can come from the Department of Statistics. So a lot of people don't know, we have a Department of Statistics that has information on pay scales. We also have the Department of Labor. They have information on these pay scales. That's two local areas. You have Google. So Google may take you to some of these job boards, Indeed, Glassdoor. Yes, they are global things outside the Bahamas jurisdiction, but you can use that as a framework. As I started before, you know your own personal expenses, so you have that. And then you can ask colleagues or mentors in the field, what did you make when you started out in the field? So there's multiple sources I tell people to look at to determine what number is comfortable for them. And again, you can say no, you can negotiate, you can do all of that. So now we just talked about basically the finance aspect of it. Back to preparedness, your resume. So your resume.
I was waiting for it to come.
So your resume, you always have to have your resume updated and ready to go, right? And I tell a lot of candidates, don't leave anything off of it. Try to keep it down to 2 pages, but don't leave anything off of it. Let me determine, or let the hiring person determine what's not necessary. But you never know what special skill set, what special trait, what hobby you have can be the difference maker. So have that updated with your relevant information, your relevant contacts, your skill sets. Don't diminish if you haven't been educated through a formal university or college. You have a lot of courses online, Allison, Coursera. A lot of these things can teach you the skill set. So just make sure you have all of the relevant information to that job. In some cases, you can have it half halfway general, halfway to the job, or very specific. Everything is current. Everything is realistic. I'm going to stress that. Everything is realistic. Do not embellish. Do not fabricate on your resume. I have a rule. Once I pick up on one lie, I know it's going down a rabbit hole. So for me personally, but the trust is gone at that point. So just be honest in terms of what you can do. Have all of your contact information. So up-to-date email, professional emails. I won't say on air what was my email when I was a teenager. I don't know.
And an email address is free to create. So
correct. And aside from free, the important thing is it being professional and something simple. First name, last name, or if you have a common name, first name, last name, middle name, or with numbers or whatever have you. If you need to consult a teacher or a mentor or someone you trust, do that. And your contacts. A lot of people switch numbers and they don't keep minutes on their phones. How am I supposed to call
me, man? You can't WhatsApp me?
Absolutely not. We try to keep it strictly professional, especially for the first encounter.
Right.
Now, I do have leeway for persons who may not have finances, so I may WhatsApp after the first time, or I may send a text, and they may send a please call me back. So I try to be lenient, but if you know that you're actively on a job hunt, make sure that your telephone is on, and make sure that it has minutes. If you need to put on a voicemail, put on a nice professional voicemail. And there's many more things to go. You want me to keep going?
No, I mean, okay. This is fascinating. It really is.
It's a lot.
And also at the beginning of the year, I feel like this is when persons are trying to either continue or start their job search. But another thing that we should touch on is that when you have the job, what should you do while on the job? And I think this is specifically one of the areas that we wanted to look into today.
Okay, so just to keep it, that's what you mean?
Well, I mean, when you say it like that, it sounds like you only there to watch time pass.
Well, believe it or not, it's in my opinion, it's very simple to keep a job. And when I say simple...
Well, I guess the question would be, how does one do well on a job? What are tips for success?
Okay, good. So the number one tip, do not assume anything. Please, please, please do not assume anything. Seek clarity. And what I mean by seek clarity is if you got the job, you were interviewed by HR manager and a hiring man company structure. So make sure that you clarify from these persons, what do I need to do to be successful at this job? On the whole, there's some things you need to do week to week. There's some metrics you need to meet to pass your probationary period, your appraisal periods. So just the earlier you can see clarity, the better it is. Because once you have a good idea from the source, not from your imagination or your friend, from the source, then you can hold them accountable. So I always say, if my manager says, "Well, Vernon, I need you to do A, B, C, D," E, F, and G can be also relevant and important, but is not priority. So what priority is what he or she says, A, B, C, D. So I make sure that I cover those bases by seeking clarity, and then I confirm. Did I cover those bases? Is it to your standard? Is it to your acceptance? Is the work to the quality? So that's one of the first things there. Okay. Second thing, when you're talking about succeeding and keeping a job, communication, all forms of communication.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people I generally do not trust someone who has ignorance in terms of communication, because you know You text, you WhatsApp, you call, you do everything with that cell phone, you email, so you do know, right? It's just a matter of practice.
Mm.
So you use all forms of those communications to just keep whoever is leading you up to date,
mm-hmm.
right? Because people want to stay in the loop. So if you have to send a WhatsApp, if you send an email, you pick up the desk line, depending on how the organization and your role is set up, you do that to keep that person in the loop and frequency, okay? Another thing, early on, set your check-in meetings with your manager, supervisor, whoever it is. And you could decide with them whether it's every day, every Friday, every Monday, whether it's every month. You set that. And once you set those check-in points and times, then you always know where you stand. And you have enough time to pivot if at one of those, I'm going left, I'm falling behind, I'm doing the work, but I'm just not doing the priority things. That's what I tell people, because now a lot of companies have their formal three-month assessment, their six-month assessment, their yearly assessment. And for me, I like to go into those assessments cool, like a cucumber, prepared, and know. And you know if you're communicating well in advance. It's rarely something that's going to change. At that point, it will be a formality because you've already took advantage and control of the situation. So you have that there.
We actually got a text message.
Okay.
From someone.
Let's to be go. Let's go.
To be successful, simply put, arrive early, be prepared to work late, and maximize your productivity in between.
Can I respond to that?
I want you to respond to that, especially, thank you so much, Texter, especially to the part, be prepared to work late.
Okay. So, post-COVID, everybody is stating that they are in support of work-life balance and mental health and all of these things, right? So, I would say you work late when you deem it necessary to meet some deadlines, okay? That's a thing, because depending on your role, and in most cases, if it's some high-level administrative role, it's a technical role, a management role, that you may be required to work late because you have more on your plate, more responsibility. But I want balance. You would be surprised once you kind of do an audit, how many things that, I guess, the company, not maliciously, they may set these grandiose goals, and if they don't have a background in project management, they may not realize that it's not realistic,
mm-hmm.
Or you can't get it done this particular time, or you need more resources. So like I said, work late when necessary, and you can plan it, but don't do it all the time, because you're going to burn yourself out, and you're not going to be good to yourself or the company. And then once resentment starts to set in, it's hard to rein it back, right? So just kind of be mindful of that. Now, the first point, I think, was coming on time. Now, for me, shout out my uncle, Don DeMeritt. He would have instilled that in me. Just being on time, it just allows you to be comfortable. It allows you to do your work in a clear head space. You're not rushing. You're not anxious. You'd be surprised on who's watching you. Always have a little paranoia that someone is always watching you. And it doesn't have to be bad. It could be leagues looking up to you. It could be senior management watching you to figure out if you are capable of being professional or leading. So yeah, be on time. Always be on time if you can. Be early. It's always going to be beneficial to you. It's never going to be a negative thing, in my opinion. And then the third thing, could you remind me of the third thing?
From our texter?
Yes.
Arrive early, be prepared to work late, and maximize your productivity in between.
Okay. So, and that could be taken many different ways. Just the aspect of maximizing your productivity. Yes, because you want to show that you are valuable, you're an asset. So you can do that. But you can, maximize your productivity in a silo, meaning that you don't know that you're not showcasing what you're doing, right, to the masses or outside of your bubble. And what I mean by that is your work needs to be seen. The impact needs to be seen. If you don't do that, some people may not know that you're being productive. For what I do, some people, if they don't see persons in the weight room, in the lobby, they may assume I'm not interviewing, or they may assume I'm not working on filling vacancies because they associate seeing people waiting on interviews with persons being hired at X speed. And that's not the case. There's a lot of things that go behind the scenes. So that's why you have to kind of vocalize how you're going to be productive in a strategic way. But that in-between part, again, you need to take your breaks. Please take your breaks. Do not burn out yourself. Do not try to cram productivity in every hour of the day. Please do not do that. On my lunch break, I watch Tom and Jerry. And I get a good laugh. Keep my spirits up.
No, you got to keep your spirits up. Now, you know, time flies when you're having fun. We're down to our last 11 minutes.
Yes.
And again, y'all, Vernon prepared like a 20-page slide, a slide deck. And I want to make sure you touch on all the points that you want to touch on.
Okay. So while it's in my mind, remember I said earlier in the show that I'll come back to that nice saucy secret on how to get in the front of the employers. Very simple, job fairs, okay? So you have different companies, you have different organizations, you have different ministers, persons in charge of people that can host a job fair. If you're actively looking for work, I would tell people go to the job fairs, because those employer representatives, you're going to see them face to face, and you're going to completely bypass that process of sending your resume into the abyss, like people seem to think. And once you're prepared, and I mean dress like you're coming for an interview, have your resumes ready. Practice your interview speech or talking points. Have questions about the company. So once you go to those job fairs, in some cases I go to it, it could be 10, 20. The most I may have seen is 30 companies at various times at a job fair. And at that point, that is the one scenario where you can have 30 interviews in a day. You can have 20 in a day. And you're right in the front of an employer representative selling yourself, selling your brand. That's one of the tricks, what I tell people. So that, and then the second thing is, we're still a little old school in the Bahamas, which is fine, and I like it. You can still hand off your resume. Drop your resume, nice cover letter, nice packet, to the front desk of these companies. And you never know when it's getting the mail or getting the resumes. You never know when someone is walking out front at the front desk, who may be a manager, who may be an employer representative, who may be the recruiter or whatever have you. And you can be interviewed on the spot. I've done that many times where persons, they came ready. As I was getting my resumes to go through, someone was ready to go, and I said, okay, do you have the time? Like, are you available? I happen to be free, and we have that impromptu interview. So you just never know what you need to be, what you're going to encounter. So you just have to be ready at all times.
That's powerful. Now, continuing off these lists that I know you have in front of you, what else would you like to share with the public as we try to prepare ourselves for professional success in the workplace?
Okay, good. So just so I can make sure I get all my shout-outs, if we're talking about, we'll just stick on the humorous aspect.
Yes.
At this point, right? So for persons who, and I want to be very broad, for persons who aspire to be in the HR field, or you have managers, supervisors, or leaders who deal with people, all of these people fall under that HR umbrella. And I encourage persons to join SHRM Bahamas. So,
what does that mean? SHRM.
SHRM. So, Society for Human Resource Management.
Okay.
Okay. So, that's a global organization that certifies HR professionals and persons who have HR related duties, ensuring that they have global tested, analyzed HR practices that they can use in their workplace just to get their work done efficiently. And they also have certifications. So they have the HRCI and the SHRM certifications for HR professionals. I have both. Again, you need to educate yourself in the space. And SHRM Bahamas, next month, they will have preparatory courses or preparatory study group to help HR professionals prepare for those exams. So be on the lookout for that. You can visit SHRMBahamas.org, or you can look them up on their Facebook page. Also, we're kicking off the year, January the 29th, with the 2026 Executive Board installation at Goldwyn Resorts, Cable Beach. So it's 6 to 8. It's $50 a person. Once you go on the Facebook page or the website, you can see how to purchase those tickets. That's, even though it's an installation board, you have at minimum HR managers there and persons who they're excited to mix and mingle and get to know who is ready for the 2026 year. Okay. And then also, we have the SHRM 2026 conference. This is the international one. So the international one is early in the year. The local one is later in the year, generally in October. So we haven't have any information on that as yet. But the international SHRM conference, that's in Orlando, Florida, from June the 16th to the 19th. You have member price, which is $2,295, and then non-members are $2,695, okay? But you can, again, even though I'm reading it off, you can go on the website, you can go on the Facebook page. We have all the contacts to reach out to the necessary persons to get you that information. But if you're not in SHRM, this is the shout out. I'm generally unofficially on the recruitment team for SHRM Bahamas. So join. It's a great organization. I've been a part of it since 2015, I think. I've met a lot of mentors, a lot of great people, persons who honestly want to help. I've educated myself. I've grown through the organization. I've given back because of the organization, so I've paid it forward, like they say, and I'm happy to keep on doing it. So anybody who just want to be in the space, best practices locally, abroad, how to get into the field, if you're not in the field but you have staff and you need to know how to assist in their growth and development, SHRM Bahamas is the place to be.
Y'all have a lot of things going on, and I'm sure with all the work that y'all do in the workplace, it's great to have a networking support system.
Yes.
To manage all of those things. Now we have 2 minutes.
Okay.
So what would be your closing notes to folks to ensure success for their 2026 in the workplace?
Okay. I guess my closing notes, and I'm not going to think too deep on it. My two things, positive mindset, just have a positive mindset about where you want to work, right? Because where you want to work and the environment that you want to be in, yes, it gets you a paycheck, but it helps in a lot of different areas in your life. So just do your research again, and the coworkers and the team you want to surround yourself with. That's something there. Also, just be a pleasure to work with. I think everybody wants that bubbly person, that person who wants to help, who wants to be a team player. Everybody wants that person around them. So once you could just be a nice, decent, kind person, and you could do that consistently, I think that's your attitude and your behavior is going to open a lot of doors for you, because you're just going to make everything lighter based on that behavior and that attitude. So I would say attitude is everything. Behavior is everything. Being prepared, being on time, just showing your asset, and you know, you just want to help. That's my thing. So try to align yourself with places that you can see yourself in the future being a part of and helping that goal, that company goal. Every company has their own different vision and mission. Align yourself with that aligns with what's in your heart, and be decent and you'll be good to go. It ain't that deep.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Vernon Bain talking to us as an expert in human resource management and all of the things that go along with that. Thank you so much, Vernon, for joining us today. It's been an informative and enlightening discussion, and I'm sure we're going to need you to come back at the mid-year point to help us prepare for those evaluations. I think that might be helpful, because you just told us we have to go and perhaps meet with our persons every week, every day, depending. So I feel like let's talk a little bit more about how do we continue throughout the year. Thank you again for coming on. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, happy hour on Guardian Radio 96.9. This is DeAndra Cartwright. Thank you for joining. Have a wonderful weekend.